It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you for joining us. I wish each and every one of you a good day. Strive for excellence. Live with intention. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And again, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to the team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Producer Steve, thanks for being behind the boards.
The alarm this morning was set for p.m. and not a.m., so I'm just happy to be here.
We normally do this pre-call when I get in the car and headed over, and the first time I called, you didn't answer, and I'm like, I sure hope he's there. You're there just like clockwork. And so I waited a few minutes and called again, but that p.m. that has gotten people before. You know what, Steve?
I don't know how it flipped over to p.m. That's the part that's bugging me, and I asked the cat, why didn't you wake me up? But he didn't have anything to say.
That's true. So anyway, happy Monday to each and every one of you, and we've got a big show planned for you today. We'll be talking about election integrity. And I find it really interesting that obviously we're seeing the Democrats push back on wanting to have honest elections. But I also see that there are those on the other side of the aisle, on the Republican side of the aisle, that basically want to pat people on the head and say there's nothing to see here, nothing to see here. And we'll be talking with retired Air Force Colonel Sean Smith in segments 3 and 4. And he is working with the U.S. Election Integrity Plan, which seems like a really good idea to me. He was down in Maricopa County. I can't wait to hear what he has to say to us, Producer Steve.
It doesn't go away, and it pops up in the most strange places. You'll bring this discussion to light, and either face-to-face in a discussion or on the dreaded social media, someone will pop in, get in your face and say, and yet you have no proof. And I thought, okay, that's the mantra. That's the, the saying from the left. It's so easy to dismiss it by saying, well, you have no proof. And as we're probably going to find out today, there's lots of proof.
I think that there is proof. And you're starting to see more and more states get on board with this. And so I think that we say now, I think we just respond and say we want to check and try to find the truth in this. And I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation.
The disgusting thing, and it comes at you when you least expect it. I have a great history or a great interest in railroad history.
Right.
And I'm watching some of the videos that are out there of things that are of interest to me. And right in the middle of the video, up pops a commercial from Stacey Abrams, and she's telling people need to act now because the Republicans are getting ready to make voting a whole lot more difficult. And, I just want to, I end up talking back to the screen and saying, wait a minute, the push is to make voting easier or easier to vote, harder to cheat. That's the drive. And, and here she is with her political bias, telling you everyone that, they are the bad guys here.
I'm not sure that I agree with this narrative of make it easier to vote, because it is very important. Your civic duty is to understand what you're voting on. And so I think that sometimes things that are worth anything have to be a little bit more difficult.
That's an excellent point. It already is easy to vote. If you're an engaged person, it's easy to vote.
You can vote in your pajamas these days. Used to be you had to go to the polls. And I think that perhaps we maybe need to get back to that, because apparently, we'll talk to Colonel Smith about this, but there were people that didn't exist, possibly. We're seeing possibly in some of these different states that didn't exist that voted. And I tell you what, that makes it really easy if you don't even exist and you get to vote.
Well, didn't even exist or have been deceased for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the favorite tricks.
So, it'll be a great conversation. And the recaps and podcasts of the shows are typically up by the next business day. We just had some summer things happen, so we're a little behind on a couple of them, but they should be up tomorrow. And be sure and check that out at Kim Munson. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute. I want to say thank you to Brian and Lisa just recently. I really appreciate that. Thank you for your support of the show to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity for these issues. And the list keeps going, Steve. We look at the issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. Socialism is not about free stuff. That's just the carrot to get people to vote for socialism. But once socialism is in place, it's really, really difficult to get rid of it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or government-induced inflation.
As we said, I believe it was Friday, this list is growing, and that should concern everyone, because the list is the equivalent of the canary in the coal mine. As long as the canary's healthy, things are fine. But if the canary's dead, that means there's natural gas present, which was not detectable. I see this as the canary, and the canary is not really in good health because this list keeps growing.
I know. The tweeting of the canary is certainly something to be concerned about right now. Let's go to our quote for today. I was thinking about honesty, character, our elections. So I put in honesty and a couple of great quotes. I could have gone just with William Shakespeare, but I have Emily Bronte at the end of the show. But William Shakespeare was an English playwright, poet, and actor, widely regarded as the greatest writer in the English language and the world's greatest dramatist. He is often called England's national poet and the Bard of Avon. They don't have his birth date. They say he was baptized in 1564. He died in 1616 at the age of 52. And he said, "Honesty is the best policy. If I lose mine honor, I lose myself."
Now, who says this show isn't educational? I've heard honesty is the best policy all my days, and I had no idea it came from him.
From William Shakespeare.
Yeah.
That's why you need to tune in.
Educational. Yes.
That's for sure. Let's...
Although, let me make a comment since we have some time. I am currently reading another one of, Bill O'Reilly's newest book called Killing the Mob, and it takes my breath away. Literally. I had to put it down sometimes because He's focused on the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s, when the mob was, at its height and, coming mostly out of Italy and the stranglehold they had on several American cities. And honesty is the best policy was the last thing on their minds. So, just to take note.
Yes, but honesty is the best policy. And sometimes it's more difficult. And there are those that are saying that you need to be looking into the gray area. But honesty is really the thing that we need to be teaching our children. It's what we need to be living our lives as. And it came from William Shakespeare. So let's jump into, some of these headlines. I mentioned that it's never compassionate to take other people's property or their rights. Via the last thing that we've added is government-induced inflation. And let's run over here to the Keystone Pipeline. Guess what? The people that were building the Keystone Pipeline have decided to just totally stop on that. And this is from Reason.com. It says, "The Keystone Pipeline's cancellation shows how arbitrary presidential power subverts the rule of law." Says the rule of law can be serviceably defined as restricting the arbitrary exercise of power by subordinating it to a well-defined and established laws. Unfortunately, politicians have learned how to subvert the rule of law by laundering their decisions through supine federal bureaucracies that interpret badly defined laws and regulations to suit the desires of the president and his minions. The decade-long saga of the Keystone XL oil pipeline is a near-perfect example of how this works. It says, earlier this week, bowing to President Biden's January declaration that its pipeline was not in the U.S. national interest, the builder of the pipeline, TC Energy, announced that it was permanently canceling construction of its Keystone pipeline. Let's just think about all the people that lost their jobs there. That project would have transported more than 800,000 barrels of Canadian oil daily to refineries on the Gulf Coast. So let's just think about this. Do you think that that 800,000 barrels of oil is just they're not going to try to sell that now? I mean, that's a big part of their economy, Steve. So what's going to happen? What market are they going to send that to if it's not the U.S.? And we talk about, or I mentioned government-induced inflation. And inflation numbers are up significantly. I've got to find that here in our headlines. But I don't have to find the headline. It says prices, this is from the Epoch Times, prices rise at fastest pace in years, fueling more inflation fears. Okay, so government-induced inflation. Let's just go to the gas pump. I have a larger car. And yesterday I filled it up and
oh my.
And
was there a loan officer present?
True that. And it wasn't totally empty, but it was $60 to fill it up. But in just before Biden, it would have been $40. Think about that. 20 extra dollars that I had to pay for fuel that I could use for other things. I could save, I could take my family out to dinner, and there's a whole variety of things. And the only reason that there was that extra $20, it was because of government policy. And that really affects hardworking, everyday people big time.
Well, we walked out of here Friday morning. The CPI, or Consumer Price Index, was just released, and it's up 5% for the month. On top of whatever it was the month before. What was the other thing? Oh, well, just the price of gasoline is up 56%. So what is this spelling out? All these things are direct result of government policy, right?
It is. And you go back to the shutdown for the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus. And that was government-induced, picking winners and losers, which businesses were essential, which weren't. And the small business person was the one that really, it was very, very difficult for them. And so here you have another dummy, double whammy there. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk more about just energy prices. There's some other really interesting headlines. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is a really valued partner of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. They have 5 locations: Westminster, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And a great place to get together with friends. They have all kinds of different specials. Their smoked wings are super, super good. And they're half the calories, but it's a great place to get together with friends or pick up something if you're having friends over. Or if it's a weekend and you just want to watch some TV and not have to cook, Hooters Restaurants is a great place to either get something to go or you can have it delivered. Check out all their specials at my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And click on the Sponsors tab. Highly recommend each and every one of those valued sponsors. And you click on Hooters and you'll get all their specials. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air. I so greatly appreciate that. We search for truth and clarity by looking at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Steve, you said you wanted to go back to something regarding the Keystone Pipeline.
You asked the question, that 800,000 barrels a day, where's it going to go now? What's the market? And there's a strong possibility it'll still be the U.S. What changes is the mode of transportation. And here's how one bad decision can lead to another. So they'll probably truck it or put it on rail cars. Neither one of those is as safe as a pipeline. Mm-hmm. So so then the environmental people are, you know, going to be going crazy as to the fact that we now are picking up or using a mode of transportation for an entity like crude oil and say, well, wait a minute, that's just not very smart.
Well, and sometimes if you take a look at some of these big investors that give to the Democrat Party, some of them are very involved in rail companies.
Yeah, one of them owns a railroad. Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that kind of funny, connecting that dot? But and once again, it's more expensive. It takes more energy than to transport that. And
again, where are the greenies? It's saying, look at how much energy and carbon, the carbon footprint of those transportation modes as opposed to a pipeline. But you know, the right guy, their guy, made that decision, so it's A-OK.
Well, and it really affects hardworking, everyday people. That mom that would like the freedom of her own individual vehicle so that she can get to a job of her choice, this push to get people into living up and down these rail lines or these bus lines, it limits your employment opportunities to just that particular geographic area. There is such freedom in your own vehicle. And fossil fuels has been one of the bedrocks to help people have the freedom to move up the economic ladder. You have to ask, why do these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties do these things? And I've got to say, it's just really special interests. That actually is a good segue into a couple of different things here. This is from the Washington Examiner. And there's this narrative out there on both sides of the aisle that the gas tax has not been increased in so many years, implying that taxes need to go up every year. That's not the case. But they're kicking around again the idea of increasing the gas tax. And this from the Washington Examiner says, it sits uneasily next to the GOP's new working class appeal. And absolutely, if in fact, and the GOP is, we found out in the Trump GOP, has been the GOP for the working class. And certainly if instead of having to pay $60 to fill your tank up, you only had to pay $40, that helps everyday hardworking people immensely. But another way to have government-induced inflation, and we see that right here in Colorado, and this is from the Colorado Peak Politics, says there's a list of some of the new taxes that Coloradans got stuck with this legislative session. Now, I find it interesting. They said Democrats hiked the state gas taxes 14 cents a gallon through 2029, but it wasn't just Democrats. I saw on there some of the big establishment Republican entities were also for that, which was very troubling. But it says, on average, drivers will pay $8 in taxes every time they fill up, which is about $400 a year for most folks. $400 isn't chump change. And that's just from this 14 cents a gallon gas tax, Steve.
It's not chump change to you and I, but to the people making these decisions, it is. Because I've thought in my mind now since we've been doing this is one of the telltale things is the way they are isolated through, you know, certainly not their base salary, but they have other means of income, and they don't really compare much to the middle class working.
Right. Definitely. And I want to continue on here. It says Democrats, again, it wasn't just Democrats. They raise diesel taxes even more, which will hit truck drivers and bump up the cost of the foods and other goods they're delivering. And who pays for that? The people that just got hit with the $400 more a year in taxes. But this is so interesting. It says, those who own electric and hybrid vehicles also got hit with higher fees, owing up to $90 a year for being so environmentally conscious. There's a big difference, first of all, between $400 and $90. And bear in mind that those people that are driving those electric and hybrid vehicles are not paying the other gas taxes that are used for the roads and bridges. And so once again, the government is favoring these EVs and hybrid vehicles over your gas-powered vehicles, again, to try to push people into that particular mode of transportation, increasing the demand on the grid. Was it you who told me this? I think that somebody said, I think it was you, that you had done some research or had talked to someone that said that the grid normally would cool down before we had all these EVs. As you went into the nighttime, people were not using as much energy and the grid would cool down. But now that we have people that are plugging in their cars all night, that is not the case. Are you the one that told me that, Steve?
Yeah, I've been educated by a friend who works for a large power distribution company entity that basically oversees the grid on the western half of the U.S. And the whole issue is a word called ampacity, or the capability of the grid to carry amperage. The normal routine way of American life says that, you know, by a certain time in the evening, the power consumption starts to drop off. And literally, there is a cooling of all the distribution components within the grid, transformers and the like. Now, with people plugging in their cars overnight, because that's, well, it's number one, it's convenient. They're home, they're doing it, but also the actual charge time. That normal cooling cycle is starting to be impacted, where it's less and less. And the end game here is that you're going to have a premature failure of the components within the grid.
Well, and we recently had, was that when we were talking with John Spence and Joe Weiss, I think? And they are doing a whole lot of work on the security of the grid. And that we actually have some of those big transformers that were manufactured in China, not here, that has backdoor technology that could make those transformers inoperable. And so what happens then with all this reliance on electricity? Of course, even gas stations, though, are reliant on electricity for the pumps as well. So we need to really watch what's going on with this. But let's continue on with these taxes. This is from Colorado Peak Politics. It says that there's a new mystery tax to be determined later for taxi rides. But for Uber and Lyft, you owe the government an additional 30 cents a ride. Online shoppers and ordering from Grubhub will cost an extra quarter. And it says, make a note, because the Democrats have cunningly scheduled the new taxes to take effect after their election in 2022. Talk about timing. Timing's everything, isn't it?
Well, you know, I write it when you gave that illustration about diesel tax, you know, diesel being taxed even more than gasoline, which hits the truckers, which ultimately comes back to the consumer anyway. And that saying that the consumer is ripe for the picking, hit me. And I thought, who can I attribute that to? So I jumped over here to Google, and consumer ripe for the picking, and it doesn't really have somebody to attribute it to, but it is so true. Every time you turn around, I mean, we discuss it here often. It's like, well, they're going to change the rate of corporate taxes. Well, do corporations really pay taxes? No.
Right.
What do? They pass it on in the costs of, you know, whatever it is they produce.
Of course, Biden and the G7, Biden does not want then people to have the freedom to move offshore, which is what happened last time corporate taxes were so high. Manufacturing corporations moved offshore getting rid of all those American jobs. The other problem that we have, and I've thought a lot about this, Steve, is because of all these rules and regulations and laws and ordinances that increase the cost of everything. When Karen Levine was in last week, depends on the market, but it can be as much as 45% of the cost of a new house build is because of rules and regulations. If we want to talk about affordable housing, if we really want to have serious conversations about that, then we reduce the cost of these rules and regulations. What about employees? The cost of labor for employers is getting more and more expensive. Again, here in Colorado with this last legislative session, all of these mandates, these rules, these regulations, it makes labor more expensive. And so it makes it more difficult to hire somebody. Everything else becomes more expensive. If we really are serious about affordable housing and people being able to thrive and prosper, then it is time to start to roll back rules and regulations. Instead of over 600 new bills that were introduced down at the legislative session here in Colorado, do we really need 600 new laws? Do we really? Don't you think there's enough? How about we start to elect people that'll say, I'm going to roll this back. We're going to roll this back. We're going to roll this back so that everyday people can thrive and prosper. Steve, you're shaking your head.
Well, how well do we remember 2017 when the Trump administration came in? What was the rule that was given to the regulators? You want to bring out a new rule or regulation? Get rid of two.
And they actually got rid of more. And again, the economy was thriving and prospering. And the Trump tax cuts, everyday people had $10,000 more in their pocket. That is a lot of money. I did want to mention just one other thing, speaking of rules and regulations. The FAA, again, they are a bureaucratic agency. It says, is demanding U.S. airlines submit plans with updated weight averages they will use for passengers and baggage moving forward by Saturday. According to the Wall Street Journal, airline officials say the weight estimates used for passengers and baggage are going up between 5% and 10%. That will affect some flights, possibly requiring that more passengers get bumped or more baggage is left behind. The new guidelines and likely travel disruptions to come with them are yet another symptom of American weight gain with no signs of abatement. And now they say it's Krispy Kreme's fault. While a novel coronavirus, the virus exacerbated by excessive weight, where 78% of those who hospitalized with infection were overweight or obese, should have served as a wake-up call to the decades-long obesity crisis. But instead, Americans packed on the pounds with apparently little concern. According to a global Ipsos poll in January, 2 in 5 Americans reported gaining weight throughout the lockdown still in place at the time. Those surveyed said that they put on an average of more than 14 pounds, putting the U.S. 7th out of 30 countries in pandemic weight gain. I find that we were 7th. At least we're not number one. Anyway, it looks like it's going to make it more interesting to fly. And I wonder if you have to, can you imagine if you have to stand on a scale with your bags? I mean, I really think that it's not fair if somebody that weighs 120 pounds and has a 52-pound bag that they have to pay extra money for those 2 pounds, but somebody that weighs 250 pounds and has a 50-pound bag, that there's no extra cost. What do you think about that, Steve?
This story is fascinating on several different fronts, but all I can think to say is my first job out of the military was with a major airline, and the resemblance to the airline in that day compared to the airlines of today, the only thing that's the same is that the airplanes still have 2 wings. Otherwise, it's a whole new world.
It's totally different. True that. Yeah, people used to dress up, and it was kind of an exciting thing to fly. And now people basically sometimes look like they're in their pajamas. I guess that's as they're trying to vote as well, because they were wanting to make it easier to vote. But they're going to make it more difficult to fly. Ha! How's that? Hey, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with retired Air Force Colonel Sean Smith about election integrity. You will not want to miss this. Stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. As we search for truth and clarity through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom, I am thrilled to have on the line with me retired Colonel Sean Smith. He served in the U.S. Air Force for over 25 years. During his service, he was responsible for the testing and testing oversight for some of the nation's most complex computer-based national security systems. He's based in Colorado. Sean is a leader of the U.S. Election Integrity Plan, a national nonpartisan, citizen-led volunteer organization solely focused on election integrity. Colonel Smith, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Good morning.
Colonel Smith, I feel if we do not have election integrity in America, we don't have a country anymore. And there are those that are basically saying there's nothing to see here, move along. But yet we're getting more and more information about this. This organization that you're with, the U.S. Election Integrity Plan, tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, the Election Integrity Plan is an all grassroots, volunteer, nonpartisan, citizen-led, citizen-run. We've never taken a donation from anybody, so everything that you see and everything that we've done has been funded out of the pockets of, you know, the volunteers themselves. So whether we're getting equipment to test or, we've tested some forensic techniques for use to determine whether ballots are authentic, and we've tested, done a lot of data analysis to determine where to look next. All of that is being funded by the volunteers themselves. So we're very much focused on exclusively election integrity because we feel the same way. If you don't have election integrity, then there is no consent of the governed, and we don't have a country.
Well, there was a recent Rasmussen report, which is typically a pretty accurate pollster, and it reports that 51% of likely voters believe that cheating impacted the 2020 election results. That's a pretty high percentage. And so it seems like that is something that we certainly want to check out. Now, my understanding is you were down in Maricopa County. Is there anything you can share with us now, what you found out down there?
Yeah, we're really careful about how we talk about it because, we're acting in confidence, in their confidence, and that's shared. We had some great discussions with them about some things that we've seen and some things that they've seen, but they're really focused. I can't tell you how impressed I am with what we saw. I have come to kind of think of what they're doing down there as like the Manhattan Project of election integrity. It's all patriots. It's all people who are just, selfless. And I'll give you a great example. We were sitting in a class, and I was watching this woman who showed up. This was really early in the morning. I watched this woman show up all by herself. Nobody else was around. She was swept this whole area, and then she brought in tables, and then she set up food and drinks and other snacks. I went over to talk to her, and it turns out she was just a volunteer who brought those in for everybody so they could keep focused on what they were doing. I recommended against the people who are running that audit before they were selected because I didn't think they could do the job, and I was wrong. They're doing an amazing, amazing job. Their attention to detail and their discipline and professionalism, and they're just, they put themselves beneath their mission, and you can see it everywhere. They're doing such an impressive job with integrity and transparency. I think it's the best audit probably that's ever been done anywhere in the world. And the beauty of it is they're not just showing you how to audit an election. They're showing you how to do a hand tally of an election with perfect transparency. So I think it's something that we should see replicated across the country. What they're doing, I think, is going to be still talked about in 20, 30 years from now.
So is that audit complete now, or where are they in that process?
My understanding is that they finished the counting of the ballots, but the counting wasn't all that they were doing. And I could be wrong about that. I haven't been watching the minute to minute, but they were pretty close when we were there. You know, they had dramatically, because they're acting selflessly and not from their egos. And so every time somebody who is observing, some visitor, says, you know, this thing over here, and points out something to them, if it's an improvement, they incorporate it. So they see it in their training, you know, within a couple of days. And they've made phenomenal process improvements. They more than doubled their speed of going through the audits and still maintained, you know, the accuracy and transparency. So, but the other things that they have going on with the audit include more than just counting the paper ballots. They're also examining each one to determine whether or not it's authentic. And then they're also examining, you know, obviously the voting machines. If you read State Senator Fan's letter to the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, then you know that they're examining the machines. So they're doing a very comprehensive audit, same kind of thing that we would like to do in Colorado to make sure that we understand whether our election was fair and free or whether it was not.
So let's talk a little bit about Colorado. And first of all, I kind of highlighted your credentials, but this is right down your alley. I mean, you understand this. So explain to our listeners just how you can be an authoritative voice on this.
Well, so this is not what I wanted to be doing. I wanted to be, you know, hiking my dog and maybe starting a family and, you know, snowboarding. But last November, I saw an article. It caused me to go read some of the data from the Secretary of State site. And then I started reading about the voting machines that we're using, because I didn't know anything about it before. And I've done a lot of testing, and more to the point, I've done a lot of oversight of testing. So I've had a chance to see what hundreds of really good testing plans and reports look like, and then observe the testing and then write independent reports. So I know what it looks like to test a complex system against the kind of threats that these are facing. You know, our voting system, our elections, have got to be the number one target for any nation state level, you know, cyber threat in the world, because there's just so much wrapped up in them. And so when you realize that, you know that you have to have systems that are secured against that threat. And when I read the test plans and reports and the configurations for our voting systems, because of how much testing I've seen of critical systems and because of what I'm aware of in terms of the threat posed by nation state level cyber capabilities, I knew right away that our systems are not secure, and they've never been secure, and they've never been tested against a nation state level threat. And that's, you know, when you have my background, I feel like it sort of prepared me to be in a position to see it at that moment, you know, just as plain as day. Now the hard part is convincing people, especially public officials who've convinced themselves that everything is okay. Now the hard part is convincing them they don't really understand what they're talking about.
So there is an opportunity here in Colorado regarding this, correct?
There's an opportunity in between every election. The problem we have with our voting systems and our elections is that people have trusted them for a long time, and public officials have been incentivized and pressured and trained. You know, if you go to a school or an organization and they tell you something over and over again, you have a tendency to adopt that view. At least a lot of people do. And I think a lot of our public officials, and many of them, I think, are very conscientious, and they're trying to, you know, make sure we have free and fair elections. But they've been sold this system that's based on these computer-based voting systems, and they have no way of knowing if the systems are secure. They're just not capable of doing it. They don't have the resources. They don't have the expertise. But we don't have to stay with that. You know, we once upon a time, we voted in person with photo ID on paper ballots, and then we counted them by hand. You know, at the precinct level, it was your neighbors who counted the votes. And there was, you know, there's an opportunity for voter fraud in a system like that, but there's not an opportunity for election fraud because you'd have to coordinate across thousands of precincts, and you can't find that many dishonest people, I think, to be involved. So we always have an opportunity to change the systems that we're using. Right now, what we're focused on, one of the things we're focused on is just trying to get a real forensic audit of the ballots and the ballot envelopes and the voting systems themselves. Right now in Colorado, the Secretary of State is rolling out a modification, an update, so to speak, to the Dominion voting systems that we use to change them from version 5.11 CO to 5.2, and from 5.11 CO to 5.13. And so we are hoping to get that delayed in enough locations that we can get forensic audits done on the machines, so we can find out exactly how they were operated during the 2020 election. I think that will open a lot of eyes if we're able to do that.
Okay. Now, I am just a layperson, but I think I just heard something of concern. And that is that the Secretary of State is wanting to do some kind of an update. Would that then negate some of the data that is on those machines now? That seems like a red flag to me.
Yeah, so there's two ways to look at it. If you give the Secretary of State and everyone involved the benefit of the doubt and just assume there's nothing nefarious happening, and there doesn't necessarily have to be anything nefarious happening, but then they say, well, we're preserving the data. All the election data, the way the Secretary of State looks at it, the election data is really just the ballots and the files from the ballots and the files from the election that was being run on the machines. But the truth of the matter is, from a cyber forensic standpoint, there is information about how computers have been operated that is not captured in the user readable sections of hard drives on machines. So our voting systems are, they call them COTS or commercial off the shelf based. They're truly not. They're built under contract in a factory in China for Dell. And they're built for the user that orders them. So they specify a configuration. So they know when they built these systems in China that they were coming to Dominion to be used in elections in the United States. So right away, there's a problem there with supply chain security. But anyway, so if you allow technicians to overwrite everything on these systems, even if you've preserved some of the records that the Secretary of State thinks comprise the election records, the truth is you will obscure and perhaps obliterate some of the evidence in the hardware that would help you understand how a system was used, whether anyone else accessed it. You know, a good example to understand is there are modems built into a lot of our voting systems, radio modems, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth modems. Now, some people like representatives of the Colorado County Clerks Association will tell you, well, the modems are turned off. But that's like saying that the flamethrower in the baby carriage is turned off. The real question is, why is there a flamethrower in the baby carriage? And the real question is, why is there an RF modem in the voting system to begin with? That should never have happened. And so if you have a real forensic auditor come in who knows what they're doing, they can look and see if there were communications executed on that machine from a remote location or from unauthorized users, and what some of the software they might have run would have been, because there are chipsets on the machines that are completely separate from anything that the local user is logged into. And they can do things on that machine that the local user wouldn't even be aware of. And that would include, you know, county election staff.
Wow. Okay. Hey, Colonel Smith, let's go to break. I'm talking with retired Air Force Colonel Sean Smith regarding election integrity here in Colorado, and there's more questions I have for him. Before we go to break, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great sponsor of The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. Father's Day is this weekend, and Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go for your shopping. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. They also have custom-made rifles, as well as really neat new collections of watches. And so, great place to do your shopping, whether or not your father is a chef or a collector or a sportsman. Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. And veterans, our military, first responders get a 10% discount every day, all day long at Castlegate. So check that out. That's castlegate.com. Castlegate.com. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. I have on the line with me retired Colonel Sean Smith. He served in the U.S. Air Force for over 25 years. During his service, he was responsible for the testing and testing oversight for some of the nation's most complex computer-based national security systems. Based out of Colorado, he is a leader in the U.S. Election Integrity Plan, which is a national nonpartisan citizen-led volunteer organization solely focused on election integrity. Sounds something truly American. Volunteers that are wanting to make sure that we are having free, fair elections, and that we have election integrity. And Colonel Smith, we were talking, I would say what may be there is might be called a vulnerability of the system. And I think that people are concerned that we might have those vulnerabilities. You mentioned these machines that these voting machines that are manufactured in China. I'd had a couple of guests on recently regarding the electric grid. And there were some of these big electric transformers that came in at the Port of Houston that they went through and they realized, and they came from China, that there was some backdoor technology there. So if they do backdoor technology on transformers, they might do it on election machines. We just want to find out, right?
That's exactly right. And honestly, you know, if you've looked at the threat that's posed by some nation states, you should assume they do build backdoors in. I mean, why wouldn't they? There's no consequence for them. We don't seem to be doing what we should to catch them. And when they are caught, then, you know, they're not really, it doesn't cost them much. You know, there's no such thing really as a private corporation in China, in the People's Republic of China. The Communist Party has tentacles into everything. And so if they need to, you know, permute, if they need to make changes for the party's advantage in a system they're manufacturing, they do it. And a great example was Apple and Amazon had covert devices hidden on the motherboards of their server stacks in their server farms. So your data that was going through Amazon or through Apple was being siphoned off and sent to the People's Republic of China. It took Apple and Amazon a while to figure out that those hidden devices were built into their motherboards. And that's what happens when you don't have supply chain security. There's no way to have supply chain security for something manufactured in China. You should assume if they have a motivation to make changes to it, that they have made changes to it. So this is, you know, when you start with that kind of, you know, poisoned tree, all the fruit from it has got to also be poisoned.
So that's why we need to be asking the question regarding election integrity. And that's why this project that you're working on is so important. Is there anything that people can do right now to help on this? I mean, you guys are all volunteers. You're Americans. Is there things that everyday hardworking people can do to help you?
There are. We're all volunteers. We're not just in Colorado, by the way. We have several states, and we're working with other organizations that are focused on the same task on election integrity. We share information and knowledge with them and expertise. We help them where we can, send them our procedures or data if that's what helps them. So if people want to volunteer, and I encourage people to do that, you know, we have some efforts that we're undertaking to try to verify voters and verify ballots and verify the machines. And people can go to useip.org, which is, you know, United States Election Integrity Plan.org. They can go to that, and there's a Get Involved tab. They can sign up there. They can also you know, sign up through there. We've got, I think at this point, 38 other organizations in Colorado that we're partnered with that are bringing volunteers to some of our efforts. They can engage with their county clerks. You know, the county clerks, I think, probably went along with a Secretary of State decision to keep from the public the schedule of their modifications to the Dominion voting systems in Colorado. I think it's unethical and immoral, and maybe illegal. You know, I'm not an attorney, but you know, constituents should be going to their county clerks and asking them very pointedly, why did you think it was okay to keep this from me? And also, what's the schedule for that modification in our county? So 62 counties in Colorado, except for Garfield and Douglas, use the Dominion voting machines. Every one of them either has been or is going to be modified to the new version. And the, you know, I mean, there are a number of problems with them. Even if the testing regime that they go through, that the voting systems go through, was adequate, which it isn't, just based on my professional background, I can tell you right now, it's not going to ever catch the kind of threats that we're talking about and vulnerabilities that we're talking about. But they didn't even really complete it. So the Secretary of State's required not to certify voting systems without federal testing by a federally accredited lab. And the lab that they used for the Dominion voting systems was not accredited when it was used. So we used a system in our November 2020 election in 62 Colorado counties that should not have been certified by the Secretary of State. And you know, I have no doubt in my mind that it was not adequately tested for the kind of threats we're talking about. So if people want to help, they can reach out to USEIP.org, or they can contact their county clerks. And I think also push back against a lot of the voices that are saying that everything was fine. You know, they're trying to shush the American people. In this case, people have the instinct. You mentioned the Rasmussen poll. People have the instinct that something was wrong in this election. I think I saw the same poll. I think it was 30% of Democrat voters, about 50% of independent voters, and I want to say it was over 70% of Republican voters. And I'm afraid they're right, and they should act on it, because if we don't now, you know, it may get much more difficult later. Okay. You can see in everything that the legislature, the General Assembly, has been passing related to elections. They're moving away from election integrity, not toward it, no matter what they say.
Right. Okay. I think I have this question, though, that people can call their county clerk. Now, you said Douglas County and Garfield County did not use the system. I also have to say, why on earth? I mean, diversity is we talk about diversity all the time. How about diversity in voting machines? But that's another subject. So the Secretary of State is basically modifying these, which would get rid of some of the potential things, the forensic data that could give us some information. So in my understanding, I'd heard through the grapevine that we needed to keep this information for 22 months. We're not even hardly, 8 months from the election, and they're changing that. So that seems to be a problem. So people should reach out to their county clerk and say, hey, have you, modified this? If so, why? But not all the machines, or not all the counties have done that yet. So there's still time for action, right?
That's right. That's right. So you know, the first question for people from citizens to their clerks, who, you know, for whom they're constituents, is, why did you think it was okay to keep information from me? I mean, elections belong to us. So when you have a public official who has the mindset or mentality that it's okay to keep information from the public about a system that belongs to us, when they're in our employ, that's something that has to be corrected. You know, if somebody really thinks that it's okay to keep that information from the public, that it wasn't a mistake, then I don't think they're fit for public office. You know, they mm-hmm. they're in a position of public trust, and they need to reciprocate that trust by being honest and open about what's taking place. And also, there are times when we have to hide things from an adversary, but in this case, they hid it from the public. So what does that tell you about how the public officials view the public? Mm-hmm. It's not complimentary. So there is still time in some of the counties, and part of this is we're having a hard time getting a straight answer from any public official, including the Secretary of State, about what the schedule is. So, and they will say, you know, you mentioned the 22 months, Kim. So the federal requirement is for election-related information records to be kept for 22 months. The state requirement is 25 months. Although what the state does is in the state's statute, it defines a record to exclude the hardware. That's not in concert with the federal standard. So the federal standard, when you look at the U.S. code pertaining to elections, does not have a separate definition for record, which means that they're using the federal definition. And the federal definition is more expansive and will include anything that's required to document or ascertain the operation or function of the organization or what they're doing. So, you know, part of this may just be a misunderstanding on the part of clerks that they think if they keep the files that are written by the election software that they're meeting the requirement. But I think they're putting themselves in jeopardy, honestly, by allowing the overwriting and the modification of the equipment when it's so obvious looking around the country that we have a good reason to investigate the last election.
Okay, so call your county clerk and ask that question. Are you modifying and overriding that existing information? Colonel Smith, we have just 20 seconds left. What's the final thought you want to leave with our listeners?
I would say, first of all, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to speak to citizens in Colorado and let them hear about it. Second, if you don't, if now's not the time to act, and I'm speaking directly to citizens, if not now, then when, and if not you, then who? So join us, talk to your elected and public officials, tell them what you want, and demand election integrity.
Thank you so much, Colonel Smith. Greatly appreciate it. And Emily Bronte, author of Wuthering Heights, said, honest people don't hide their deeds. So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.